2 Timothy chapter 3. My topic is self-love. If you want my official title, it's Diagnosis, a Bad Case of Self-Love. Came up with it all by myself. You guys should be proud. I'm just kidding. You don't have to be proud. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. We'll pray, and we will get into this. I'll give you just a second. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I still hear pages turning, so. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as well as was that of those two men. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would come meet with us. We ask that you would use your word to come through me into the hearts of these young people. Father, I ask that you would give me the passion, the energy to communicate words that they would listen to, that would help them to participate, to stay awake, to stay engaged. That you would help these young people and these sponsors and teachers to be engaged into what your word has to say. And Father, we will be sure to give you the praise and the glory for it all. In your name we pray. Amen. So self-love, when we first started talking about topics, I was like, well, what in the world is self-love? I mean, because no one uses that phrase. Usually we think of things like conceited or selfish. But when it comes to the idea of self-love, self-love is that loving you should be a priority in your life. Our society today is completely consumed with the idea that Brandon has to love himself first before he can ever love someone else. He's got to find himself and know what he wants and what he needs to do before he can ever go out and reach those around him or even be an effective person in this world. In case you didn't know, that idea is not godly. It is not biblical. In fact, I would say it is the modern day idolatry.
Amen.
We're not bowing down to statues. We're standing in front of a mirror and worshiping what we see. And if you question it, all you have to do is turn on television. You heard it with entertainment. You heard it with the idea of submitting to authority. You heard it with the idea of purity. You heard it with the idea of materialism. At the center of every one of the topics is this topic. You love yourself too much. Paul, writing to Timothy here, in his second letter to him, says, Timothy, you better watch out for this idolatry that's going to creep into your church. Timothy's the pastor in Ephesus. All right. In case you don't know much about the city of Ephesus, in the book of Acts, we see what goes on in the city of Ephesus. They have a temple to Artemis where the worship of this pagan god consists of sexual immorality. Paul comes in, preaches, and really a riot starts in the city. And a couple of Paul's friends are dragged into this arena, and it is clear they are not Christian friendly. In fact, they don't even allow Paul to enter into the arena. They're like, Paul, they'll kill you, man. Any of the freshmen remember who the two men are? Can you give me one? Can you give me one, Natalie? Hannah? Gaius and Aristarchus.
are the two men that go into the arena in the city of Ephesus. Well, Paul has moved on, gone to different cities, and he left Timothy in Ephesus to be the pastor of the first church of Ephesus. And he says, Timothy, watch out for these people. He's not talking about just the world in Ephesus. He's talking about in his church. And he says, understand that in the last days, it's going to be tough. Because men are going to be lovers of their own selves. Now, you can look at this list in two different ways. One of them is, like the Ten Commandments, you've got Commandment 1, Commandment 2, Commandment 3. You can look at this and say, oh, no, there's Sin 1, Sin 2, Sin 3. And depending on how you count, there's 18 of them. 17, 18, 19, depending on how you want to count. The way I look at this is Paul says, Timothy, you need to know people are going to love themselves too much. And when they do, here's what it's going to look like. So I want to look at this passage as saying, self-love is a problem. Here's how it works out in the life of people. So let's look at some of these things. He says self-love, being self-centered, being narcissistic, being consumed with me, turns into, or looks like, verse 2, a lover of money. Covetous, materialistic, consumed with getting things. If I love myself, then I'm concerned about getting what I want. He says, those people who love themselves, they're going to be proud, as the ESV renders it. The idea is literally empty boasting. Hopefully you guys don't do this anymore, but y'all remember when you were in elementary school and kids would get into arguments and they'd start talking about random things like, well, my dad was this, and it's like, no, you made that up. Your dad doesn't really do that. You know what I'm talking about, those arguments? None of you? You know? All right, let's just be honest. How many of you, it's okay, made up something that you had done, your parents do, or an experience just so you could sound better to someone else? I will raise my hand. I've done that. All right? You know why you did that? Because you love you. Yeah. The reason I've done that is because I love me. He says they're proud. They're arrogant. This is more of what we understand the idea of proud or prideful to be. That I'm consumed with thinking more of myself. Maybe you actually have something to be consumed with. The first proud is kind of you're just empty. You're making that up. The second one is maybe you do have something to be prideful of. But you don't have to do that. Because you love yourself, you get arrogant about it. You get abusive toward others. That word abusive in the Greek is literally blasphemous. You say things that should not be said because you love you. Disobedient to their parents. The only reason you and I ever disobey mom and dad is because we love us more than we love mom and dad. Sometimes we want to rationalize it away and say, the reason I disobeyed them is because what they said was stupid. Right? I mean, how many of your parents told you to do something dumb? Or that you thought was pointless? Like, really? Come on, really? You know why you think that? Because you love you more than you love your parents. These people who love themselves are going to be disobedient to their parents. These people who love themselves are going to be ungrateful. They're unthankful. They're unappreciative. They're not satisfied with the things they have. Why? Because they're lovers of money and they're lovers of themselves. These people who are ungrateful are also unholy. They're impure. They're heartless. They're callous. They're hateful. These people who are heartless are also unappeasable. You cannot satisfy them. Nothing you do will ever make them happy. You know anyone like that? Seems like you just can't please those people. They love themselves too much. If you find that for your life, nothing that you ever seem to do or nothing anyone does can satisfy you, then you need to check yourself because you might love yourself just a little too much. He says they're heartless, they're unappeasable, they're slanderous. They speak ill of other people. They communicate malicious gossip. That Greek word there, is literally diabolos. More often than anything else, that word that we see here as slanderous, as with unappeasable, that slanderous word, it is 35 times translated as devil. And 4 other times it's different things. So these people who love themselves are literally associated with the devil. Now, have you ever thought about that for a second, Leroy? If you want to slander someone else, you're being associated with the devil. Why? Because that's exactly what Satan does. Go back to the Garden of Eden when he stands there as a serpent and tells Eve, did God really say this? He's slandering the things that God said. These people are lacking in self-control, especially self-restraint. They're brutal. They're uncivilized. They're wild. You cannot control them. They don't love good. They would rather antagonize the things that are good, the things that are right, than participate in them. These people are traitors. These people are disposed toward betrayal. They are treacherous. They are headstrong. They are reckless. They are conceited. They are puffed up with pride. They're wrapped in a mist of delusion. They're devoted to their personal pleasure rather than pleasing God. Verse 4 says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Meaning, you would rather... Yes, ma'am.
When you say self-lovers, there are people who... Are you referring to people who practice these things that are continuously shown in their life? Or, I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
I'm talking characterized. All right, so I will admit to you, okay, last night, for example, on the basketball floor, all right, part of what I do is because I love me, and I wanted to do what me wanted to do. And so we do that. We do things where it's, I love me, and for this, I'll choose to do this because I like this. But we're talking about, and he gets to it right here, with the idea of lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Which one is weighing out, is winning out when you weigh the balance? Is it, I'm choosing to love God, and yes, I can do things I enjoy. Sometimes I'm disobedient, but I still love God. No, it's not that he's saying, if you're disobedient, then you don't love God, and you're, this is you. It's more of, you need to be watching for people. If they are consistently disobedient, if they are consistently malicious, if they are consistently uncontrollable, then you need to watch out for them because they love themselves too much. It's the idea of watching who a person is, seeing what their life is characterized by. He says that these people are traitors, they're headstrong, reckless, they're devoted to personal pleasure rather than to God. And he says, they have an appearance, verse 5, an appearance of godliness, but they deny its power. Timothy, avoid such people. So now that we've looked at a definition for self-love, we see what self-love turns into. A couple biblical examples I thought of, some of them have already been mentioned since we've been here. Cain. The reason Cain, after the garden, brings the offering that he wants to bring to God is because he loved him more than he loved God. So, Romero, if I'm going to bring what I want to God and say, here, God, take what I have, this is what I'm giving you, and I completely ignore what God says he wants, I'm choosing to love me more than I'm choosing to love God. If I'm going to be like Ahab that we heard about with Naboth's vineyard, Ahab was more concerned about him and getting what he wanted than he was concerned about this man even being able to continue his life. Well, I don't think any of us would associate with Cain or Abel. But what about James and John, the disciples? Because they're James and John are walking along with Jesus one day, and they're literally arguing about, hey, Jesus, who's going to get to sit on your right hand when we get to the kingdom? You know why they argue about who gets to sit closest to Jesus? Because they love themselves. The Bible is filled with examples of people who love themselves. But the problem is, if we love ourselves, it's because we have never put away or gotten rid of the youthful passions.
Look in your Bibles, chapter 2, verse 22. Paul tells Timothy, chapter 2, verse 22, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. He says, Timothy, flee these things. In the last days, people are going to love themselves and they're going to do these things. Why do those people do those things? Well, if you read on into chapter 3, it says, verse 6, for among them are those who creep into households, capture weak women, burdened with sins, led astray. They are led astray by various passions. They didn't put away the youthful passions, and so those youthful passions, those lustful things in their life, the idea of loving themselves is now drawing them to do this. If Timothy is proactive in pushing this out of his life, then he's not going to have to deal with these things. And when he sees these types of self-love come out, he's going to be able to say, you know what? You didn't do what you should have long ago. You didn't flee the youthful passions in your life. So let me ask you, what are you not doing because you love yourself too much? Some of you refuse to get consistently involved in a local church because you love you too much. And you don't sit at home thinking, well, I just love me, so I'm not going to church. No, what you do is you say, I want to play travel ball. I want to play with the AAU team. And when you choose what you want to do rather than what you know God would want you to do, and that's not forsaking the assembly of yourself with believers, you're choosing to love yourself over God. You're choosing to not even consider Christian colleges as an option because you want to make enough money to support yourself for the rest of your life and not be concerned about financial issues. Completely ignoring the fact that maybe God wants you to be involved in the ministry. Maybe he wants you to go to a Christian college and train for the secular world so that you can go and be an accountant who does it for the glory of God, who was taught how to be an accountant from a biblical perspective. Maybe you're refusing to get involved with a ministry in your church or a ministry of the academy because you don't want people to think bad of you. Maybe you refuse to get up in the morning and not read your Bible or pray because you love you too much. And you're not going to say to you, you know what, I love myself so much that I start reading my Bible. It's, you know what, I don't have time. I'm going to be late for school. Well, why are you late for school? I overslept. Why'd you oversleep? Because you made decisions to love yourself more than loving God. Maybe you love yourself so much that you can't communicate the gospel to your friends because, you know, I'm going to mess it up. I'll just let the teachers do that. Bible teachers can share the gospel. I'll invite them to youth group and then they can hear the gospel there. I don't want to ruin it. Or what about the idea, Jimmy, of living out the gospel? I can't do this. I can't act this particular way because, well, then I'm not going to excel on my travel ball team. I'm not going to be able to fit in with this internship program if I live out the gospel in this particular way. I'm not going to make it through basic training if I'm known as the religious nut. You make decisions like that all the time because you love yourself. Well, maybe you're not considering college just yet. But maybe you've made a conscious decision not to speak to someone because they annoy you, they don't like you, they hurt you, they offended you, they made fun of your friend. We would never do that as high schoolers, would we? No, we wouldn't do that. No, yeah, we do. You know why we do that? Because we love ourselves too much. All right, give you an example. It is much easier for me to walk into a room and just find the person that I know that I like and can have a conversation with and just talk to them, rather than checking on other people, saying hi to other people.
welcoming them, letting them know, hey, you know what? I'm aware that you are here, and I care enough about you, Alexis, to say, hey, how are you? Rather than, you know what, I'm going to walk right by Alexis and go see Giovanni, because Giovanni and I, we can talk basketball. Because we do that, don't we? We walk into a room, and we head straight for our friends, ignoring other people. Why? Because you love yourself too much. Or maybe, you're like, well, I know enough that I'm not supposed to speak ill of other people, so I try not to gossip. But when you're sitting at the lunch table, and two chairs over is talking about someone else, you love yourself too much that, you know what, I don't think you need to be talking about them without them being here. Well, I was just telling you what happened. Really? Were you just telling me what happened? Or were you telling me your opinion of what happened? Or maybe someone that you know has been sinning. They have sin in their life, and you're too concerned with you to go up and say, you know what? You need to stop. Miles, you can't do that. It's wrong. But I can't come to Miles because Miles is going to say, well, you're just as bad. Well, yeah, you may not have done this, but I saw you. You were over there doing that. You know why we don't confront sin? Because we love ourselves too much. We can't confront others' sin because we love our sin too much to get rid of our sin and then go confront our brothers and sisters in Christ about theirs. So what does loving yourself affect? How does it affect you? Well, first and foremost, when you love yourself too much, it's going to affect your prayer life. You will not pray like you should if you love yourself too much. If you are willing to say, you know what, I love me, you're not going to pray like you should. It's going to affect your outlook on life. You're going to be annoyed with certain situations that you are put into simply because you don't like them. And it's not that you have to like every situation you're in, but the attitude you have about it, that's completely up to you. It will affect your outlook. It will affect your walk with God and your devotions. It will affect your assurance of salvation. You ever question if you're saved? You know why? Because there's sin in your life, and many times that sin comes from I love me more than I love God. It's going to affect your relationship with your parents. I was there. The Brian that was 13 and 14 would not be a Brian that you would want to hang out with. Because I was choosing to love me more than I was choosing to love my parents as I've been commanded. When you disobey your parents, it's not just disobedience, it's sin, more so because you love yourself too much. When you can't get along with other people because, well, we're just not compatible, you know, we're just not good friends, we have different personalities, right? We've done that. Jacqueline and I do not get along because, you know, we just like different things. When really it's, I just actually don't like her and don't want to communicate with her. So, bye. Because loving yourself is going to affect more than just you. So if that's the truth, then as long as I practice self-love or loving myself, I'm never going to come to a full knowledge of the truth that is in Christ. Because Paul says to Timothy, verse 7, these people always learn. You know why they always learn? Because they love themselves. But they are never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. Can you even arrive at the knowledge of truth? Well, yeah, actually you can. Chapter 2, verse 25 says, correcting his opponents with gentleness, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Okay. Verse 15 says of chapter 3, and how from a child you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which have made you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Timothy knows the truth, because he has chosen to love Christ more than he loves himself.
All right. So it's self-love. I got it. I love me too much.
So what do I do about it? I mean, how can you really fix... I can't get away from me. Everywhere I go, I'm there, right? I've never been anywhere that I wasn't there. Have you been there, Timmy?
Well, Paul says, your first treatment is avoid them. If you know someone that loves themselves too much, you need to go ahead and take a step back. Doesn't mean don't talk to them. But take a step back and be aware of the situation. Something else you need to do is you need to not make excuses. Verse 12 of chapter 3 says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly..." Some of these people that have practiced self-love do have a desire to live godly. And those who have a desire to live godly will live their life in Christ Jesus, and they will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but you continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from a child you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. He says, Timothy, people love themselves too much. Be aware of them. But if you want to live godly, you're going to have to do it this way. Follow God's word. He says, you've known the scriptures. You've known the holy writings. Those things have pointed you to God. Use those. Something else we can do is we can give. Well, what do I mean when I say give? You can give thanks. If you are spending your time thanking God for what He has given you, then you're not thinking about yourself. David, if I'm thankful for my parents and I'm thanking God for them, then I'm not going to be saying, you know what, I can't stand you. You're so annoying. I can't wait till I'm 18. Because I'm giving thanks for what I have, and you're not going to be thinking about you when you're thanking God for what He's given. What else you can give is your time. If you're too concerned about your time, then maybe you need to give it to someone else. If you're so focused on what you do with your time, then you need to give it away. You can also give your service. You can take your blessings that God has given you and use them to serve others. I will not be consumed with not having self-control if I am using my abilities and giving them to other people. I will not be slandering others if I'm giving of my time to others, if I'm serving other people. I can also give worship. He says, having an appearance of godliness, but denying its power. That is the modern day young person. You can appear godly. You can show up to church and youth group and Sunday school. You can show up in Bible class. You can participate in Bible. You can answer all the right questions. But when it really comes down to it, you deny, you say, nah, I really don't think it has the power that it says it does. Why can we say you deny the power? Because you love yourself too much. If you accept the power that Christ gives us through grace to overcome our sin, then I'm not going to struggle with this. If you're willing to put up a front and appear godly, but not have a heart in this right place, in the same location that is godly, you're saying, I like the look of it, but my heart's not there. I don't really think the Bible is as powerful as it says it is. I really don't think the Holy Spirit can move like the Bible says He can do. I really don't think it's as real as some people say it is. Because you like the idea of appearing godly, but you deny its power. Because you fall under one of these categories of loving yourself too much. And you do these things like loving pleasure rather than loving God.
Another solution to the problem is to humble yourself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 says this, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject unto the elders, submitting to authority. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility one toward another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that at the proper time he may exalt you." If you are struggling with loving yourself too much, then you need to go ahead, take a step back, and say, "You know what? God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. You are not pleased when I get proud of myself." Another solution to the problem is practice the golden rule, which is actually a biblical concept. Matthew chapter 7. Christ says, "As you want other people to do to you, you do it to them." Not doing what they've done to you, but doing to them first what you would like done for you. Another solution to the problem is to count your blessings. How many of you are familiar with the song, "Count Your Blessings"? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. So I brought the lyrics. "When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lambs and gold, think that Christ has promised you with his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, wealth can never buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end." When you spend time counting the things that you've been given, you're not going to think about, "You know, I probably should do this." The last song we sang right before I came up here was "Behold Our God." If that song doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. You guys won't get that. When you love yourself too much, you think more of you than you do of what God has done. But a song like "Behold Our God" uses the story of Job to say, who actually gave God advice on what he's done? Were you there when he laid the foundation? No, you weren't. Well, then maybe you should let him be God. And then you need to step back and behold who he is. Because, Lord, if I understand that God is God, and he's done everything, and I am completely dependent on him, then I'm not going to think so much of me. If I understand that it's because of God that he sent his son to die on the cross for me, then I'm not going to be concerned about whether or not I make a particular team, or I get to sit at a particular table, or I have to do one of these things that Paul lists as a fruit of loving yourself. If I behold who God is, it should make you think of how much nothing you are. Because, Alex, I did nothing to deserve God's grace. When I stop and think that God sent his son to die for me, I don't have any reasons for it, other than he gave it to me. If you will practice in your life beholding who God is, you're not going to love yourself too much, because you can't get over the fact that God is crazy about you, that he would do anything to save you from hell. But some of us are too consumed with who we are to ever stop and recognize, "Okay, God, yeah, I'll do what you want." For some reason, as humans and as Western culture citizens, we get this idea that God, if we acknowledge the Bible, God created me, He provided salvation, and then I get to do this thing called the American dream, where I graduate high school, I go to college, and then I get to make money, I get to have a family, and we get to go on vacations, and we have all of these things for ourselves, because we love us. But if we will recognize, I'm supposed to be loving God, then I'm not going to be so concerned about me. You have something in your life that you are choosing to love more than God. You're the one that has to identify it. Now, some of those things, like being disobedient to parents, we can see coming out. But each and every one of us has something that we just love about us too much to be completely sold out for what God wants us to do. Because it's mine. I love it. I want to do it, Amos. I have this goal for my life. But we never stop to think, God has a plan for us. If you think God can speak the world into existence, orchestrate a chosen people, a lineage for His Son to come through, and then save the entire human race through the blood of His Son, and He doesn't have a plan for you, then you just need to quit and give up on Christianity. Because God did not do all of that for you to be left to whatever you want. If He can orchestrate the world being in existence, if He can orchestrate tiny nation of Israel surviving for thousands of years and not give something for you, then you have believed a lie of Satan. Because God has something for you. He has something He wants you to do. And you have to go ahead and acknowledge here this morning, what is it that's holding you back? Is it your struggle with sexual purity? Is it your struggle with submitting to authority? Is it your struggle with your materialism? Is it your struggle with your entertainment? Is it your struggle with loving you too much? Because if you're going to choose to love you more than you love God, then you have that terrible end headed for you. Because I cannot trust Christ as my Savior if I love me more than I love Him. You have to love Him more than you love yourself if you're going to be in heaven. Satan's selfishness led to his demise. Because he wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to appear godly, but deny the power of it. He wanted to choose his desires over God's plan. So you have the choice to choose to love yourself or love God. Which one is it going to be? But do yourself this favor. Make the decision now to flee youthful lust. Because if you leave it now, you're not going to be one of these people. These people are the ones that didn't run away from it. They let it stick around and stew up in their life so that they would be drawn away. But if you flee it now, you can avoid this. And you can be like Timothy, who is wise to the Scriptures in his knowledge of salvation. Because you've been taught. Every single person in our high school is now accountable for their actions. If you weren't before, you are now. Because you've been taught through the sermons that you have a certain behavior, a certain attitude, a certain lifestyle to be one of Christ. So now you have to choose, which one do you love? Do you love you? Or do you love God? Let's pray. God, we are thankful for what you've done. It is because of you that we are here. It is because of you that we can sing songs that give you the praise to behold the wondrous deeds that you have performed to remind us that you are the one who deserves the glory.
You are the one who deserves the praise. You are the one who deserves the love. And Father, as we close out the preaching for Gad, I ask that you would speak to the heart of each and every young person here. That they would first and foremost recognize their need for a Savior. And for those who have recognized that need, that they would choose to love you more than they love themselves. That they would determine right here, right now, to set up boundaries and walls to protect them from impurity, from materialism, from rebellion, from pursuing the world and our entertainment, or even our attitudes, Father. I ask that these students would determine right now that they will flee youthful lust, that they will pursue godliness, that they will remember the things that they have been taught, that it would not just take them through the weekend, that it would not just take them through the school year, but that it would follow them for the rest of their lives, that they would continually make decisions to love you more. We thank you again. We'll give you the praise and the honor for it all. In your name, amen.